so maybe I'm in my blue period. Picasso had a blue period. So why can't I have a blue period? Am I not the Picasso of Revelation? Sure. I just gave myself that title just now. So, thinking again, thanks for bearing with me, ladies and gentlemen, thinking again about the people in the world who are going to die, it takes a great deal of maturity to see things as God sees them. And the key of being able to endure the book of Revelation, or to even read the book of Revelation, or many other parts of Scripture for that matter, is to understand that God is coming back for the rest. That God is not going to leave the people that he kills dead. As evidence of this, we know our Lord said that the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah would rise again to judge that generation to which he spoke. So let me ask you this. The inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, if you go back and look at that passage in the book of Genesis, they were smoked. Fire and brimstone came down from heaven and destroyed them. Destroyed the valley and the people. So let me ask you this. If they rise again at the great white throne, how destroyed were they? Were they destroyed beyond the reach of God? No. Were they destroyed beyond the reach of life? No, because they're resurrected. So how destroyed were they? Were they eternally annihilated? No. Are they now being eternally tormented? Or tormented at all? No, they're dead. That's why they're not raised until the great white throne judgment. Until that time, they're dead. Revelation 20, verse 5, I believe, the dead do not live until the 1,000 years should be finished. So even the inhabitants of Sodom, listen to me, even the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, which has become the definitive word to use if you're talking about sinners. They're a bunch of Sodomites. Gomorrah. What happened to Gomorrah? What? Is Sodom worse than Gomorrah? Gomorians. I would have said they're a bunch of Gomorians. Gomorians are just as rotten as Sodomites. So these inhabitants rise again. And likewise, those who are destroyed and killed, there will be widespread death and destruction from the hands of God. During the indignation, these are not finished. It's not their end. My question is always this. What happens next? That's the question you need to ask, especially when you get to the unveiling of Jesus Christ. What happens next? Oh, Martin, we have the lake of fire and the second death. Yes, we do. Martin, there are a lot of people cast into the lake of fire. Maybe. There are some. Other people are written in the book of life. But those who are cast in the lake of fire, my question is, what happens to them next? Nobody ever asks that question. What happens to them next? Well, at the consummation of the eons, first of all, it's startling. Let's start there. It's amazing that they're even there to be judged, because we thought that the inhabitants of Sodom were killed forever. We thought that all the evil people belonging to the beast in the day of the Revelation, the unveiling, the last days, we thought they were destroyed forever. So what miracle it is, we need to stop to appreciate this, that these people, the small and the great, are standing again. They're alive again before God to be judged. Because we're not going to judge them in death. They're now dead. Nobody can be judged in death because death is the great equalizer. Nobody's judged in death. Because the infant dies and Adolf Hitler dies. Death is the great equalizer. The infant who died at a year is just as dead as Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler is dead, isn't he? I'm not up on the latest conspiracy theories. The latest one. He's dead? Okay. He's not living in Argentina, across the country from me. Okay, good. Across the continent, I should say. So all humanity that has ever died has to be raised again. And this will happen at the Great White Throne. And we're going to talk exhaustively about the Great White Throne. And I'm going to tell you everything I know about the Great White Throne. And we're going to look at comments from other people about the Great White Throne. And we're going to do that as we get into chapter 20 in Revelation sometime in the year 2026. Everybody's going to have their day in court. And you know what? Some people are written in the book of life. Some people aren't. Some people go to the lake of fire, which is the second death. Count them two. The second death is the first, just like the first death, only more of it. If you've ever been to a funeral home, you know what the first death is. The dead do not live. They're not alive. Dead people are not alive. And try to remember that it was I, Martin Zender, who pointed out to you the essential fact that dead people are not alive. They're not being processed anywhere. They're not being tormented anywhere. That's the reason they need to be resurrected. This is foundational teaching. However, Satan has screwed it up so that nobody believes it anymore. So that's what you need to know, is that God is not done with these people. Just as God let me know 25 years ago as I was watching television that, you, Martin, go your own way. You concentrate on me, concentrate on my words, concentrate what I'm doing with you. Right now, you have to leave these people go. This is such a refreshment to you if you are in the Christian religion and if you are being pounded by the fact that you have to save people, that you have to witness to the world. And I know there are programs going out today to evangelize the entire world. Well, this is not going to happen. Even if you managed to write the gospel in the sky so that every single person of every single nation saw it, what difference does it make unless God gives belief? It doesn't matter. The Gideons have put the scriptures in every hotel room in America. In fact, I was in a hotel room recently in Brazil, and the Gideon Bible's there. It's probably all over the world. And how many people believe? It doesn't matter. If you go out as a missionary or a shmissionary or whatever you are, and you take the, if you, even if you had the right gospel, which you don't, you missionary smissionaries, you don't even have the right gospel. You have a false gospel of human contribution, of the human free will, and of the false teaching of eternal torment. So even if somebody did believe your gospel, and even if you're like Billy Graham, and you get all excited, man, I'm getting all excited because I went and preached in front of a stadium of people, and 4,000 people came down to the altar. They responded to a false gospel. So even if you had the real gospel, let's say, it takes God to cause somebody to believe it. So those of you who feel that you have to reach the world, or you feel guilty, you feel somehow accountable, as if God's holding you responsible for the salvation of his people, I want you to pour yourself a glass of wine, sit down, and shut up, and relax. I say, well, Martin, you're not shutting up. Well, I'm not shutting up because I have a message. And my message is true, but also I'm not responsible for the reception of the message. I only put out the message. And I have no angst. I do have angst, but not about this. I have angst in general in life. Do I ever. But I don't have any angst about the fact that people who hear me don't all fall over themselves believing in Jesus Christ, or in the mature gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about that, because God is coming back for them. That is the message. God is coming back for them. That's why you can concentrate on him. Now, Paul does say to try to correct people. So you're going to talk to your mother. You're going to talk to your kids. But Paul says, I think it's in Titus, after one and a second admonition, two admonitions, give up. You're not, quote, responsible. You're not responsible anyway, but you're not accountable. Okay? So God's coming back for them. It must have been tough on the ark when that door closed to hear all those people screaming outside, clawing on the ark. That's the picture I get. Maybe that's just Hollywood. But God's not finished. He's coming back for them. He's going to raise them all from the dead. Every single person that was drowned, which was the entire earth, save eight, is going to rise again and be righteously judged. And at the end, even after the lake of fire, which is the second death, even after that, somebody's cast into the lake of fire. Here's the question, what happens to him next? What happens to him next is death is abolished. 1 Corinthians 15, 26. And the result of the abolition of death is that there's nothing else left but life. And God is destined, 1 Corinthians 15, 28, to be all and in all.